Welcome back to the Aries Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we are continuing in the eighth and final chapter of Maseches Edios. Today we will be learning Mishnayos Gimel and Dalet. Mishnah Gimel. Heid Rabbi Yeshua of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra al Amanas Isa. So Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra testified about the widow of an Isa family. So an Isa family, let's start with what a halal is. A halal is somebody who is the offspring of a Kohen and a forbidden relationship. So, for example, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, which he's not allowed to do, then their child is a halal. And a halal is not a Kohen. So, an Isa family is a family that has a suffix halal, someone who may or may not be a halal in, and you're not sure who it is. So, it's a case of a double doubt. So, the first question is, who's the suffix halal? And the second is he or is he not, in fact, a halal? So it's a case of double doubt. So they testified about a widow of this Isa family, Shehi Ksheira LeKahuna, that she's allowed to marry a Kohen. Sheha Isa Ksheira LeTamei LeTahar, because an Isa family is relied upon to say who in their family is pure and is impure, meaning who has had forbidden relationships, L'Rachek U'LeKarev, and to say who can and who can't marry a Kohen. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, so Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, Kibalnu eduschem, aval ma nase, shegazer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shelo lehoshiv batedinin alkach. So he said, we believe what you say, but what can we do? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that we're not to convene a Beis Din to evaluate a case in this situation. HaKohanim shomim lachem l'rachek, aval lo l'karev. The Kohanim, they listen to you in order not to marry certain women, but they don't listen to you in order to marry certain women. So they're stringent. They act stringently in this matter. So even if we were to call a Beis Din and declare a woman in such a case valid to marry a Kohen, the Kohanim don't listen. So you're spinning your wheels. Let's look in the Bart Neuro. Amanas Isa, the widow of an Isa family. Mishpacha achas shenasariv ba suffik chalal. So it's a certain family that has a suffik chalal, a doubtful chalal mixed into it. Kol echad mebnei hamishpacha suffik im hu oso suffik shenasariv behen im lav. So each member of the family, there's a doubt whether he's the person who has the doubt about him. V'isha shenises l'echad mebnei osa mishpacha u'mespala. So if a woman marries into that family and then her husband, who has this doubt, dies, Hikuya Amanas Isa. She is called the widow of an Isa family. So now Isa means dough. Shekamosha ha'Isa belusha umi'ureves. So just like dough, everything's all mixed together. Kaksos ha'Isha mi'ureves misvekos. So similarly, she's got all these doubts swirling around. Suffikim balahu oso suffik halal. So the first question is whether her deceased husband was that doubtful halal. Vafiluim hu oso suffik halal, and even if he was that doubtful halal, shema eno halal fi ha'emes, maybe he wasn't really a halal at all. Rabbi Yeshua machshir oso lekahuna, so Rabbi Yeshua permits such a widow to marry a kohen, sheyesh kan sveik sveikos ulukula, because it's a case of a double doubt, and in a double doubt, we act leniently. From a Gamliel savar, afal gav, deba'alma sveik sveika lukula, Rabbi Gamliel says, even though in a case of double doubt we really do act leniently, hachashani demala asu biyuchsin. Here it's different because they added an extra layer of stringency when it comes to protecting the lineage of the Kohen. Sha'isa kasher latami latahir, because this Isa family is relied upon to say who has had improper relations and not. Klomar, shehamishpacha shenisarev ba safik halal, harehi bechezkas kashrus, Kishar hamishpachos hamiyuchsos. So this means to say that the family that has this doubt mixed into it is still a legit family, and they can make these calls just like any other family. Ukamosh shishar hamishpachos omrim zu tameya umisrachim mimena v'zu tahora umiskarvin osa. So just like they can say this woman has had an improper relationship and can't marry a kohen, and that woman hasn't and she can marry a kohen. Kach mishpacha zu. So kishinosim nashim is a nitma v'ez a tahara k'de l'rachek hatameo l'karif hatahara. So you can't say that just because this family has a suffix chalo mixed into it that they no longer bother to track such things. So they are equally relied upon to make such statements. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, "Kabalnu eduschem, we accept your testimony. Ne'emani matem be'enenu, u'ma'aminim anu shikach shamatem. So we believe you, you're trustworthy people, and we believe that this is actually the statement that you received. But what can we do? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Shelo lahoshiv based in al-kach, not to convene a based in for this purpose. Lahatiyal manas isa l'chatchila, in order to validate the widow of this family l'chatchila at the outset. Why? Hakohanim shomim lechem l'rachik. The Kohanim listen to you in order to distance themselves. Im tamru asura, if you say that she's not permitted. Avalo l'kariv, but not to draw her near. Im tamru muteris, if you say she is permitted. Upsak halacha, and in the final analysis, sha'amanas isa asura lehinase lekahuna lechatchila, that the widow of such a family is not permitted to marry a kohen at the outset. But if he did marry such a woman, he's not obligated to divorce her. Mishnah Dalid. Heid Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer ish tzereda al kamsa dechein. So Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer ish tzereda, that's his name, he was from a place called Tzereda, he testified on the ayal kamsa, that's the name of a locust, dechein, that it's pure, that it's kosher. V'al mashke bes mitbachya, and he testified on the liquids from the slaughterhouse. Now, here, there's a parenthetical note, the inun, that they are not. So either this Mishnah says, the inun dechayin, that they are not pure, or we omit the parentheses and it says dechayin, that they are pure. So we're kind of left with a doubt here which he said. And the third thing is, udiyakriv b'misa mistav, that someone who touches a corpse is impure, which seems to be no great revelation, but we'll get to the Bar Neuro who will explain what's going on. Ukarele Yossi Shiraya, and they called him Yossi the Permitter, because he permitted three things that were normally not permitted. Let us look in the Bar Neuro now. Ayal Kamsa min Chagavhu. So Ayal Kamsa, as we said, is a species of locust. Dachain, that is pure, tahor. Umutar Bachila, and permitted to eat. So we're not just talking about ritual purity, we're talking about kashrus. Almashkin Beis Mitbachya, on the liquids of the slaughterhouse, hadam v'hamayim shehem b'beis hamatbachim sheba azara. So we're talking about the blood and the water that came from the slaughterhouse in the temple courtyard. The inun dechiyin, that they are not pure. Igaman d'amar dechiyin taharim legamrei. There's one opinion that says that they are pure, they are completely pure. The tumas mashkin lav diaraisa, because the impurity of liquids is not from the Torah, ela rabbanan hu de gazer bahu tuma, but rather it's a rabbinic form of purity, ubahani lo gazer, and these they did not include in their enactment. V'ikalaman de amar dechiyin tahora mil tamei acherim, and there's another opinion that says that they are pure from impurifying others. Aval tumas atzman yesh lahem, but they do have their own purity. The yesh lamashkim tuma min haTorah, because there is impurity for liquids from the Torah. Lehitame, to become pure. V'lomatzu rabbanan latahir mashitime haTorah, and the rabbis do not have the authority to declare pure that which the Torah declares impure. So really, the parenthetical note here hinges on whether or not the impurity of liquids is a Torah law. If it's a rabbinic law, they didn't institute it on these particular liquids, so therefore they're completely pure. And if it is a Torah law, then they didn't institute it to impurify other things, but they, of course, can themselves become impure. V'dikrav misa misav. And if someone touches a corpse, he's impure. Now, that seems to be no great revelation, so let's read. Hachika Amar, this is what he means to tell us. V'chol dikrav Vaday lamisa misav. Someone who touches something who's definitely dead, it's definitely a corpse, then he's impure of a safek, but in a case of doubt, afilu tumas meis chamura tahor. Even in a case of something as stringent as touching a corpse, you remain pure. V'kol shekein tumas sheretz kala. And even more so, something light, like touching a sheretz. So what he's doing is he's coming to purify a case of doubt when it comes to touching something impure in the public domain. Ba'afal gav, the suffik tumah b'rishus harabim tahor d'yoraisahu. And even though the concept that a case of doubt with something impure in the public domain is a Torah law, and now he goes off on a tangent and explains how we learn this from the case of the Sota. I'm going to skip the tangent. Mikol makom, nevertheless, kodim shaba Yossi ben Yoezer, hayu omrim halacha v'ein morin kain. Before Yossi ben Yoezer came along, they said, this is the law, but we don't publicize it. Ubahu v'heid shemorin kain, lechatchila l'tahir kol suffik tumah b'rishus harabim. And what he told us is that we go out of our way, we do teach people this law in order to purify cases of doubtful tumah in the public domain. V'karale Yossi Sharaya, and they called him Yossi the Permitter. Lefi shehit shlosa devarim shehayu nohagin behen iser, because he allowed three things that they previously treated stringently. Shekain based in Shematir Shlosha Devarim, Shein Haheter Shalahen Pashut, Karle Bedina Sharaya. Similarly, any court that allows three things that are not obviously permissible is called a permitting court. Okay, that's Mishnah Dalet. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishnayos Hey and Vav.